Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering Your Life's Work, with host, author, and career coach, Kathy Callahan. For those of you who want to discover and achieve your life's work, you're in the right place. Kathy will help you find your purpose based on the spiritual gifts you were born with. What is your blueprint for life? Let's talk about it. Kathy? Kathy? Hey! The show's on. Put that down. You don't know where it's been.
Hello, Prescott, Arizona. Hello, world. You're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering Your Life's Work. I'm your host, Kathy Callahan, and your career coach. And this show is dedicated to finding people who have discovered and achieved their life's work so that you can hear how they did it. Because really, if any of us can do this, you can do it too. And my program is centered around discovering the spiritual gifts you were born with. And those would include skills, values, and interests. And I have a fascinating guest tonight for the show, and his name is Frederick Abramson. He's with alphagenics.com. It's www.alpha-genics.com. And he is just on the cutting edge of relationships, what causes their problems, what to look for as far as solutions. That is right up my alley, because if you have an interest in relationships like Frederick does, you can find many different areas that you can make your life work, your life's work, your goal for your passion and your niche and the career that you want to build around. So we're going to find out more about that, but our guest here, again, is Frederick Abramson. Frederick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kathy. It's delightful to be here.
I had not heard about what it is that you're doing, and when I came across your website and the information about you, as I understand it, knowing your top genetic traits can help you steer into the career that you're best suited for. And with Valentine's Day coming up, you can discover things about yourself that you probably didn't know based on your genetic makeup and how to get along better in a loving relationship. Do I have that right?
You certainly do. The learning about who we are and our DNA, which we now can do for the first time in the history of the world, lets us understand ourselves and the people around us with a whole new framework and way of thinking, which is very positive.
You know, Frederick, I think I made a mistake when I sent out the press releases, and I only listed that we had 103 genes. That's incorrect. How many do we really have?
Well, the best guess of the scientists is now 22,500.
Woohoo!
It's a lot, and they used to think it was 100,000, but they keep cutting it down. The 103 refers to the number of genes in the special panel that we've put together called My Gene Da Vinci, and we look at 103 genes for 50 different traits.
Tell us about that, if you would. In fact, before you start, for the layman amongst us who took plant and soil science instead of biology, what are the genes? Where do they come from? What's their purpose? Why does your company look at genes?
Ah, great question. Genes are encoded in what I think could fairly be called the book of life. It's the DNA. And each of our parents contributes half of our DNA. Mm-hmm. And this is why children resemble parents and why siblings resemble each other more than strangers. Mm-hmm. And our DNA contains the genetic code, which are the instruction set for everything that we are. So from the time of conception through embryonic development, through birth, and then development in childhood, in adulthood, and then as we age, all of those things are coded in our DNA.
And that would make up my hair color, my skin color, my eye color?
Oh, those are the things that we've known for years, that, right, skin color, eye color, hair color, height, things like that. The other interesting thing is, and a very important part of this work, is that our DNA is not the only part of the puzzle. Centuries ago, they've known that it was always nature and nurture, what we're born with and how our environment shapes us. And so it's very important to realize that we enter the starting gate of life with our DNA, and then this becomes shaped, and we shape ourselves based on our environment, which we can control.
Now, the 50 traits that your company looks at,
sure.
These are primarily geared around the personality, not so much the eye color, hair color, weight.
They're geared around many normal things. None of the things we're looking at involve disease, because, in fact, most of our life is lived every day. So we look at behavior, personality, genes related to weight loss, physical performance, how we behave in relationships. All of these things have pieces of the puzzle that make up what we are, and so we've picked out 103 of the more interesting and positive genes to profile.
Well, because we do have Valentine's Day coming up, could we take a look, Frederick, at the gene testing that you do as it relates to how we can get along in a marriage or romantic partnership?
Sure.
Okay. Now, everybody, as I understand it, everybody is born with specific genes, which, do I have this right? It sort of gives you your personality, your personality is built around it, and that's what you bring into the romance?
Your personality is shaped by the genes in conjunction with the environment you grew up with and you're living in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring both of those to the relationship.
Okay, so in fact, I need to ask you this. You test the genes by blood draw, is that correct?
No, we've moved away from having to do something like blood. What we do is we have a little swab that takes cells from your cheek, just like a toothbrush. You swab it, you put it in an envelope and mail it to us, and then a week or two later, the results come back, and you know what your DNA says. We follow that up with coaching so that you can interpret it more precisely, because each of us are different, and what it means to each of us in our life and our life script will be different.
So, Frederick, it really is true that science plays a part in what kind of a partner we become in a romantic relationship?
Absolutely.
Wow. You know, I don't know about our listeners, but my first thought is it's probably more environmental, that it's the way I grew up, it's the baggage I carry from the past that causes most of my problems today in a relationship. Could you give us an example of a couple that was maybe having difficulties that you've run tests on and what you discovered? And go ahead and leave them anonymous. We don't want anybody, their anonymity to be broken. But what did you discover in their DNA patterns that indicated there would be trouble in this relationship?
First, let me just say that the trouble may not be the issue. It may be a very strong, powerful relationship which can still be improved. And in fact, the example that I would cite is one like that. A couple in their 40s who've been happily married for a number of years. In fact, they do marriage coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked to them about their DNA profiles, the man wanted to talk about his DNA as it relates to obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, it turns out that there's a gene that when the person has more than 30% of the calories in the diet come from fat, they become obese. Now, his reason for this, he wasn't really obese as I saw him, but when he was asked why, he said, well, I'm the longest-lived male in my family, and I want to think about being healthier because of my family and my relationship. And we talked about that, and it was very positive. And one of the things, of course, he realized is that if he wanted to lose weight, the 10 or 15 pounds he had to lose, the Atkins diet wouldn't work for him because the Atkins diet is low carbohydrate but tends to have high fat.
Mm-hmm.
So that would work counterproductively. Now, why does this help in a relationship in general? There are many stressors, as you know, in relationships. How we behave towards each other, how we look, how we feel, our sexuality, and so on. Well, being overweight is a problem in for many people in a relationship. And if you're overweight and your partner thinks that you don't care enough to lose weight, you have tension in the relationship.
Oh, but you're so right.
Right. And now, suppose you do the test and you find out that it isn't your fault. You know, it's not just a light switch that you turn on and off. There's genetics playing a role. Eating more sugar than you should, because that's a genetic factor. And
mm-hmm.
once that light goes off, instead of saying you're a bad person because you can't lose weight, it's, wow, this is what we need to do together to get you where you want to go. To me, that's a very positive message, because it's a message of empowerment and creating harmony to get something done.
Well, I know that in every romantic relationship, even a relationship with your children or your parents, I know that in every relationship there are underlying stressors and factors which you were talking about.
Yes.
And if, for example, if Kevin and I wanted to know what causes the unnamed stress in our relationship, this could actually be done by a swab test and a genetic makeup, profile makeup?
The genetic test would identify factors that contribute to that. Let me give another example. One of the genetic factors that relates to women is that when women have a certain gene, they don't handle stress as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? Typically, when people don't handle stress, their behavior changes. Some people eat extra food because eating creates a brain effect that makes you calmer.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, when they're under stress, become angry and they lash out. And so you have the dynamic of the relationship being influenced by the fact that in some cases the female is less able to handle stress from a genetic point of view. If I know that, and you and Kevin are the couple, and Kevin knows that you may have that gene, instead of him becoming angry when you become angry, it's, wow, let's see if we can work through this and strengthen what we do, because you're becoming angry because of the stressor that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Does this help you in understanding the relationship?
Very much so.
Good.
We're going to stop momentarily for a commercial break. We do have lots of people I want to say hello to. Big shout out in the chat room, JHL, guest 2421, Fred, guest 2361. We've got people coming in all the time during the show. And what we're talking about today, everybody, is how your DNA, absolutely fascinating, how your DNA can show you what the stressors are in a relationship. And my guest tonight, Frederick Abramson, you can get much more information from his website, www.alpha-genics.com. Has information about how you can become a part of a test group, you and your sweetie, and take a look at what the stressors are genetically. And Frederick, and you say for every stressor that we have genetically that we were born with, there is a solution?
In almost every case, there's a way to adjust who we are and what we do to compensate for these things.
Dog. Okay, we're going to be back in just a minute. And when we come back, Frederick, because there are people who are listening to the show live and also people who are going to be listening to the archived version who want to discover and achieve their life's work, I'm going to ask you, when we come back, Frederick, what are the three main skills you feel like you brought with you, maybe genetically, maybe it's from the viewpoint that your soul came in with these primary three skills that helped you discover and achieve your life's work in the genetic industry? Would you be willing to share that with us?
Be happy to.
Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Prescott Radio.
Make a plan, get a job, and find the help you need, all in the comfort of your own home. How would you like to find a career that's best suited to your own personality? You can. With laser-like focus, Kathy Callahan will take you by the hand and guide you step by step in discovering and achieving your life's work. Her home study course, Finding God, Practical and Spiritual Solutions to Everyday Career Problems, will put you on the right track right now. Out of work? Retired but still looking? Burned out or tired of your current job? You need this home study course. Order and download it right now. Take the first step in achieving all of your career goals. Go to www.godseer.com. That's GODSEER.com.
Welcome back. I'm Kathy Callahan, your career coach, and you're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering Your Life's Work. And if the commercial went too quick for you and you would like more information about the home study course for anybody who wants to make use of their best skills, values, and interests, you may want to look into my home study course. It's called Discovering Your Life's Work, How to Start Your Own Business. And it's at my website, www.godseer.com. And through the use of 29 quizzes and how-tos, 4 list choices, and lots of motivational quotes and tons of true life stories of people who have discovered and achieved their own life's work, you can find out how to do that for yourself as well. So, welcome back, Frederick. And for all of you who are listening who would like to call in and ask Frederick a question about DNA and the scientific point of view and how this affects your love life, your relationship, the call-in number is 347-237-5301. And if you want to ask a question about discovering your own life's work, I'll be happy to answer that part. But before we go any further, Frederick, 2 things I want to ask you. One is, what are the three? It's like the typical journalist, isn't it? A bunch of questions at once.
Okay.
What are the 3 skills that led you into this career field? And also, does your web address have a phone number people can call and talk to you about their DNA and their genetics?
Let me give the second one first. Anyone can call me. I'm happy to speak to them at 301, area code, 840-9733. And that will connect to me at the present time, and I'll be happy to talk to them.
Good. Okay, now tell us about your skills. How did you get into this line of work? You think of a professor and somebody who's sitting at the computer doing scientific things. Is that you? Is my picture accurate?
Well, only to about 10%. I think when you phrased the question, I had a chance to think back over my career. And I've done many different things. I've been in the music business, in rock and roll, the computer field for over 40 years, healthcare, business, law, teaching, and athletics. Mm-hmm. Now, so what ties all that together? There are really 3 things I think that I can point to that help explain why I'm here and how I got here. One is that it turns out I'm very good at seeing patterns and visualizing patterns and processing this data. So the maps and watching things emerge be really very easy for me. When I was younger as an athlete, I was the quarterback, and it was easy for me to watch the things emerge in the field of play in real time. Mm-hmm. So this lets me see what's present, what's missing in a pattern, so that we can think about, and I can think about, what choices do I have? Do nothing, improve something, change something, or add something that's missing.
So it sounds like you also have an evaluation or an evaluative skill,
right,
correct?
That's the second part. I have a decent mathematical, logical mind, mm-hmm. so that lets me organize data and sort through and come to conclusions. The third thing, I think I'll pick something that is most people wouldn't pick, and that is being ADD.
Really?
Yes. You know, being ADD, there's been obviously a lot of negativity associated with that. But what happened to me is that I learned how to work under pressure, how to adapt to changes in environment, and to make my ADD-ness a positive part of my life as opposed to a negative.
Amazing.
So to me, that all fits together into one package, which helps explain why I've done so many different careers, because that's the ADD part. Do
amazing.
One thing, move to the next.
Now, what career field do you think you're in? What is your passion, Frederick?
My passion is helping people solve problems where my knowledge can be then translated to you so that not only can you solve a problem right now, but you learn and are empowered to solve problems on your own in the future. My passion really is the old statement, give a man a fish and he has a meal for the day. Mm-hmm. Teach a man to fish and he has meals forever.
You're right.
I prefer to be a teacher to share this information so that people can take more control in solving their own life problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, your niche then would be personal life problems. Does that sound correct?
I would perhaps personal life growth and development.
Ah, okay.
I tend to look at the upside. I'm a half glass full kind of person, and the work I'm doing in genetics is to say, look, we've got all this good information about who we are. Let's not talk about disease. Let's talk about the positive things and use that and that information as a springboard to make our lives better right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's assume that there are couples who I'm trying to pull out a theory.
Okay.
Let's say they want to continue the relationship, both want to work on it, but maybe their sex drives are off. One likes sex, the other one maybe is not into it so often. Is that genetically determined?
Interesting question. We know less about the specific area. There is a genetic factor that contributes to libido, which is the sex drive itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they do know that there are genes involved in that. But another example, perhaps, that relates to sex and sex drive and our affiliation, there was an interesting study done in Italy in which they found two different kinds of love related to two different kinds of genes. One
really?
Type of, yes, it was amazing. One type of love they called Eros, which is intense emotional experiences based on physical attraction.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was mania, which is love associated with possessive and dependent romantic attachment.
Oh, wow.
Well, we know people who have either one of those, and this helps a little bit in clarifying why we are what we are.
Why and some people take hostages.
Well, that'd be a relationship issue that we'd have to really negotiate through.
So are there two primary genetic findings that could, and is this something that you test when you test couples?
We do test the two genes for love. We test genes involved with spirituality.
Interesting.
There's a lot of fun things.
Frederick, we have a caller on the line, and
okay.
They're from area code, looks like 928. Caller, are you on the line?
Oh, yes.
Hi, do you have a question for Frederick about genetics and how it plays into our love life and maybe the problems that couples have and the solutions?
No, it's a very quick question indeed, but with 3 billion base pairs of data, it seems as though the task of developing mathematical characteristics would be extreme. Am I correct? You, the job of determining what goes, you know, tab A into slot B seems astronomical.
This one's yours, Frederick. Hit it.
Sure. Well, let me. I think it's a very interesting question, and I think the best way to answer it is that the sequence of letters in the genome is organized, or they are organized into words, and the words are genes. And our dictionary, if you will, has roughly 22,500 words with variants of spelling and variants of each word. So the challenge is less sorting through 3 billion base pairs in some random combination, because the genome is very well organized. In fact, they're finding that when they do studies of larger populations, that many of the genes are highly conserved, pass from generation to generation, which you would expect, because most of our life is filled with everyday, ordinary things, and eating food and breathing and things that are part of our natural biology. So these things
Yes. I'm sorry. Would that include addictions, maybe drug addiction or alcohol addiction, that could be passed down through the generations?
That's a great question, and they do find that addictive behavior has a genetic component. It clearly isn't the only thing, because other things go into whether you're addictive. Certain substances create a craving in the body, which feeds addiction. So again, this is the nature-nurture argument. Years ago, I was involved in the alcohol policy for the federal government, and that was one of the interesting things. You could be potentially genetically wired to be an alcoholic, but for the most part, it's always a combination of one and the other.
And your program, Frederick, when you do the testing, our caller from area code 928 was asking about the millions of combinations that are possible. You do how many combinations?
Well, we're looking at 103 specific words or genes in which scientists have already studied and found that a different spelling of the words creates a difference in how the people sort out. So we're looking at existing science for 103 genes or 103 words.
We've got to take a short commercial break, Frederick, and
sure.
Guest caller. But when we come back, would you tell us what it is that your testing does, what it looks for, what it finds, how it allows for solutions to any problems.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go to this area because it's Valentine's Day. Let's talk about sex when we get back. All right, Frederick?
Okay, sure.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering and Achieving Your Life's Work.
Make a plan, get a job, and find the help you need, all in the comfort of your own home. How would you like to find a career that's best suited to your own personality? You can! With laser-like focus, Kathy Callahan will take you by the hand and guide you step by step in discovering and achieving your life's work. Her home study course, Finding God, Practical and Spiritual Solutions to Everyday Career Problems, will put you on the right track right now. Out of work? Retired but still looking? Burned out or tired of your current job? You need this home study course. Order and download it right now. Take the first step in achieving all of your career goals. Go to www.godseer.com. That's GODSEER.com.
You betcha! You're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering Your Life's Work. I'm your career coach, Kathy Callahan, and my guest this evening is Frederick Abramson. And you can find him online at his website, www.alpha-genics.com. He's got a terrific program that shows the scientific side of our relationship, our personal life. Knowing your top genetic traits can not only help you find the career best suited to your personality, but it'll also allows you to have a relationship without blame. And we do have a caller on the line from area code 928. And caller, do you have any questions as far as our current topic of sex goes, as far as relationships and maybe the idiosyncrasies or the differences and how to resolve that?
No, I don't per se. I'm fascinated by the project, and I love the idea that someone is finally taking some information and finding out how it relates to one another. I think that's wonderful.
It can certainly bring results, and it can bring understanding, and it can eliminate blame. So, Frederick, will you tell us, and all of the listeners out there and everybody in the guest room, hello, everybody, will you tell us what it is that can be resolved through your genetic testing with issues of sex, and what kind of issues should somebody be looking at in their relationship to know if they've got some problems to overcome?
Well, that's obviously a very complex area, because our sexual relationship is the product of many things, including something we've just talked about before, how much stress we're under. Stress, particularly in men, tends to reduce libido.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple of areas that I can point to that's in our panel where the research has provided insight into some genetic differences that give us a little bit of a clue on what may be happening in our sexual relationship. I mentioned the issue of weight.
Mm-hmm.
If one of the partners looks undesirable, doesn't look sexy, there's going to be a change in sexual relationships and sexual behavior.
In the overweight person's eyes or in the partner's eyes?
It could be in both.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this is without pointing fingers and blame. I spent a number of years in the weight loss field, helping a company deal with people who were losing weight. And most people trying to lose weight are women. 80% mm-hmm. of the weight loss people are women. And many times the reason they're working to lose weight is because they want to look better. They want to look sexier. They want to look better for their partner. They want to keep their partner at home, just
right.
You know, part of the biology. So weight management is an issue that comes up that interferes with our physical relationship. So, and since we deal with some of the issues around weight, to the extent that they start understanding what's going on, that can improve the sexual part. Another one is physical and athletics. Our genes contribute to endurance. And muscle
physical
strength.
Performance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're tired, if you're physically worn out, you're less likely to be engaged in sexual behavior
mm-hmm.
because fatigue is a barrier to sex.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand that genetically you may find yourself fatigued more often in certain areas or you get certain muscle pains, well, now that we know this, we can start talking about how to deal with it.
Mm.
How about pleasure? There's a gene where different versions of the same gene alter how people experience pleasure. Well, pleasure is part of sex.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know this, you could begin adjusting what you do with each other. There's a genetic basis of affection. Sex includes affection. The idea that sex doesn't would be absurd.
Can you find it in your panel, Frederick, someone who would be perhaps more likely to be affectionate and cuddling? Does that actually show up?
There's a genetic contributor to affection, and to the extent someone has it, they may be more cuddly
mm-hmm.
in combination with how they were brought up than their partner, who doesn't have that same gene and is a little less cuddly. And when
it reminds me.
What's that?
this particular section, Frederick, reminds me of the movie Vacation with Chevy Chase. Do you remember when they were at the Grand Canyon and He had just ripped off the till for some money in order to get his family some gas for the car or whatever it was. And the children and the wife are standing at the outlook looking over this beautiful vista. And he runs up, and of course he's running from, not doesn't want to get caught. However, his idea of affection was, here, let me put my arm around you. Mm-hmm, yep, nice, and let's go.
Right.
That could be determined genetically.
There'd be a thread of genetics there that could be worth exploring. And the key element in all the things we've talked about, Kathy, is that when you get to the specifics for each person and the couple, going back, in effect, to the question that was asked, the combination of our genes, even with 103, still makes us unique. And how we view them in terms of their importance to us will vary.
Just like what our caller was asking, there's so many millions of combination patterns available that everybody does turn out indeed to be unique.
Right. And then so that each of us then can decide what's the important thing for us to work on. What's important for you? What's important for me? And let's talk about it, because it changes how we see each other, and it can change our dialogue and our behavior towards each other in a very positive way.
Great segue into values.
Frederick, okay.
Your passion is teaching and helping people problem solve. Your
yes.
niche, of course, is personal life growth. And when we come back from our commercial break, I'd like to ask you, what values do you feel were strong in your genetic makeup or your soul brought with you into this lifetime to help you achieve your life's work? Would you be willing to share those three values with us when we get back?
Be happy to.
Okay. You're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering Your Life's Work. My name is Kathy Callahan. I'm your career coach, and if you're interested in career coaching and receiving coaching, listen to this.
Get stoked. Get coached. Kick your career in the rear. Tired of trying to get your career off the ground without getting results? You need a career coach. Whether you're starting your own business or want a better job, career coach Kathy Callahan will help you discover and achieve your life's work. In her intensive 30-day career mentoring program, you'll learn how to find your spiritual gifts and how to turn those talents into the career of your dreams. Don't waste another day trying to find work you love. Get coached at www.godseer.com. That's www.godseer.com.
Welcome back. I'm Kathy Callahan, your career coach. And for further information on your home study course, as far as discovering and achieving your life's work, and also for career coaching, and for meditation, which is specifically designed to help you with your career search, just go to the website, www.godseer.com, G-O-D-S-E-E-R.com. I'm speaking with Frederick Abramson, and he is with alphagenics.com, www.alpha-genics.com, and we're talking tonight about how he discovered and achieved his life's work, helping others, problem solving in the area of personal life growth. So, Frederick, what is it that you feel like you were born with as far as values are concerned that put you into this area?
I think the answer would be that these are things that were there and shaped, obviously, by my environment. So I would pick three things. One, being willing to help others. Second is that there is more to life than making money.
Good for you.
Well, I mean, we all have basic needs to survive and have reasonable comfort, but being overly greedy is, I think, not a value that I would associate with, and I think we've seen the recent meltdown as an example of excessive greed.
Wall Street banking,
right.
Politics, yes.
Absolutely. And the third, I think, is to make a difference.
Mm.
These are, I think, the three things that are core to my value system in dealing with people and looking at people differently as different people and then working with these differences.
Frederick, did you come from a family who was interested in genetics and DNA or personal relationships? Did Mom and Dad influence you at all to go into this area?
They obviously influenced me, but no, my parents, my father was a civil servant working for the Army. My mother was a secretary. I just happened to luck out in being able to go to some excellent schools and have the wonderful fortune of having teachers who saw a potential in me that they wanted to accelerate and promote. And so through life, I've had people that I've met who have said, this is an important thing to do, and let's help you do something next. And so it's been shaped really as a largely by coincidence and taking one step at a time to accomplish things.
God bless the teachers in our lives. We just never know if we're a teacher, what kind of influence we have on a young mind, what kind of difference it can make in the quality of our life and the direction that we go into. To have somebody recognize what our gifts are and to encourage us to explore them and make use of them so that we can discover and achieve our life's work. God bless all the teachers out there.
And let me add, Kathy, that one of the things that happened to me, which I do myself now, is they actually went out of their way to call other people and contact other people and say, this is someone you need to work with.
Oh,
so it wasn't just talking to me. Mm-hmm. They actually took the extra step and said, work with this person. Mm-hmm. Bring him into your tent. Make him do something better.
Oh, that is so warm and fuzzy. I love that. Tell us, if you would, Frederick, about the interests you had growing up. What were your studies about? What was your major in school and college?
Well, I'm laughing because I was never a very good student.
Really?
Oh, I was terrible. In high school, they didn't know what to do with me. I still managed to go to college because they figured that that was the best of all the low alternatives. In college, I was such a terrible student that I failed probably 6 or 7 or 8 courses in my career as an undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where my teachers saw something, so I ended up getting 4 more degrees after that because they saw a potential in me that ultimately was realized. It just took a long time.
Did you major in science to begin with? Because you are in a scientific field of genetics and DNA.
I did. I started out in engineering because it was very practical, but I'd found it wasn't for me. So I ended up in what's called mathematical biology in English.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that interested me when I was younger were science fiction. I read science fiction avidly. It showed a lot of what could be.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up the potential for novelty and new things. The second thing is that I've always loved history and read history voraciously. And then I learned that history teaches us how to not make the same mistake more than a few times.
So was it the networking that actually got you into this industry? I'm assuming that the genetic industry is not all that old. It hasn't been around that long.
Well, I was trained as a geneticist in graduate school. My PhD is in human genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, the problem that I was confronted with is we couldn't look inside our body to see what was going on.
Right.
Everything was abstract. So I moved into other fields, including business and law. I started teaching at Johns Hopkins in the biotechnology program, and through the program became exposed to the fact that the technology of biotech and the science of genetics had advanced to the point where for the first time in history, we could affordably look inside each of us to discover who we are. And I talked to my students at Hopkins and asked them, is this something that we should do? Should we start thinking in terms of who we are so that we can make better life decisions? And they said, absolutely. What a great thing to do. And I said, okay, let's do it.
I just think this field is so fascinating, and that there are scientific reasons. Of course, we in the United States have grown up in a Western scientific frame of mind. It's got to be proved scientifically for it to be true. And I just think it's so interesting that it is scientifically provable, our predispositions in love and romance, relationships, careers that we choose. I think it's fascinating work. I am so glad that you have brought this to our attention.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And to me, one of the most wonderful aspects of this is that it's not just the genetics. It's also our environment. It's how we're brought up. It's how we're nurtured. It's how we parent our children. It's all those other things that we knew were important. We just couldn't figure out how it fit together. But now
well, let
we
me ask you a hypothetical question.
Sure.
Let's suppose that someone was raised in an abusive household. Maybe it was verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. How does somebody who did not have the guidance and training to become a healthy partner in a loving relationship, how does the testing that you do help them? I'm assuming there is a solution. If you've not come from a great background and you want to be a better lover, partner, marriage, spouse, whatever it is, what do they do when they come to you?
Well, of course, one of the aspects is they have to be, in the first place, willing to look at themselves and be willing to change and to think about change. If they don't want to do that, there's no way to force them to look at this information. But assuming that they're not satisfied with where they are, coming to us and looking at the profile will give them insight into the factors that they got genetically inherited from their parents that contribute to what they are, and then the thing in their environment as growing up that created what they are today. This is a very challenging area, and as I'm sure you know, there are very extensive coaching, counseling, therapists who have to help people work through that.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing from my perspective and what we're doing is we want to move away from blame. We want to move away from saying, you are defective inherently. Because when we start talking that way, we defeat people. We make them incapable of being good, yes, changing and becoming positive parts of society. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance between the two. A person coming out of an abusive childhood, this is a very challenging long-term issue, but it is possible to do once they begin thinking of themselves differently.
Frederick, we're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, I would like it if you could explain to us how your testing is done. Do people come to you and say, hey, we're having this problem, we'd like a solution? Do people come to you and say, hey, we're thinking about getting married, are we going to be a good match? And do they have to come to your physical location? So when we come back, would you explain a little more about what it is you do?
Be happy to.
Okay. We'll be right back. You're listening to Prescott Radio, Discovering and Achieving Your Life's Work.
What would it be worth to you if you could lower your blood pressure, reduce your stress, and find the job of your dreams? Meditation is a scientifically proven method for better health. And when you combine it with specific career direction, you get the best of both worlds. A career you love and better health. Order my one-of-a-kind career meditation and download it right now. Take it from me, a certified hypnotherapist. My career meditation is the most powerful stress reducer and job finder on the market anywhere in the world today. To order your downloadable career meditation MP3, go to www.godseer.com. That's GODSEER.com.
Righto, GODS like Sam, EER.com. I'm Kathy Callahan, your career coach, and my guest this evening is Frederick Abramson. He's with the company AlphaGenics. It's www.alpha-genics.com. And if you have any questions, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you'd like to know how to recognize maybe some stress points and what to do about it, you need to go to his website. It's pretty terrific. So, Frederick.
Yes.
What do you think? What is the process as far as our listeners are concerned about how to get the information that you offer to help them romantically this Valentine's Day?
Well, it's actually pretty simple. You contact us, and we'll send you a swab that looks like a popsicle stick that comes in a sealed package. It'll be sent to your house or wherever address you want. And in the privacy of your house, in your bathroom or living room or wherever, you take the swab and you simply stroke the inside of your cheek 8 times. And that captures enough DNA to test. You take the swab, you put it in an envelope, you send us the envelope. We then put that into the laboratory. The laboratory results come back. We prepare a report for you that describes the results of the test, and that's delivered to you. We'll deliver it electronically if you want, or we'll deliver it hard copy. And then we'll follow it up with a discussion with a coach so that the questions that you have, what does it mean to have this? What are my options? What could I do? Am I interpreting it correctly? And then the coach works with you to do that.
So what we know today, as, thanks to genetics and DNA and counseling, is that for every relationship, there's more to it than passion. There are plenty of people who have gotten into relationships, and that's all that it had going for it. And we know that those kind of relationships don't last. If you want to grow old together, if you want to know more about maybe your idiosyncrasies or your partner's idiosyncrasies, this is a very good tool in a very relatively new industry, genetics and DNA, that helps you see what you are predisposed to toward, good and not so good, and what you can do afterwards as a couple to make that relationship better. You know, science and passion are key words that you might want to look at if you're thinking about improving your current relationship. It's also interesting as far as finding and discovering and achieving your life's work. And when talking with Frederick tonight, what I found from him was that his passion is teaching people through problem solving, and his niche is personal life growth. You've got a niche. You've got a passion. You have qualities that your personality was born with. And as we've seen tonight, it's provable. It's in your DNA. You have skills, values, interests, and a predisposing personality that will help you discover and achieve your life's work, as well as have a really outstanding personal romantic relationship. So if you have any questions, Frederick, would you mind giving us your phone number again of how people can reach you by telephone?
Sure. 301, area code, 840-9733 is the phone number, and it'll come right to me, and I'll be happy to talk with anyone, answer questions, and share the information that we have.
Okay. And do you have any plans coming up for your company? Do you have various topics such as romance that you cover, or what? I don't even know what questions to ask you. Why do people come to you? What areas of their life are they getting solutions or answers to?
It's a wonderful question, and they're the kind of natural things that deal with relationships and personal growth. How do we raise our children? What are my child's strengths and areas that they have to do better at?
Oh, so you can do this for children, too.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can tell whether there's a basis for the kind of athlete they might be. There's a genetic basis for whether you are a dancer or not.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity.
Really?
There are all these fun things that genes contribute to. Your social activities. Singles could learn about themselves and learn about a potential partner in a way that they've never been able to do, except for long-term dating, which may not work out.
Mm-hmm.
Lifestyle choices, career counseling. You do career counseling.
Mm-hmm.
The genes influence how our minds work. Our minds influence our career. It fits into directly with the work you do.
Now, if somebody wanted an action-packed career, for example, would that show up in their genes? Is there a risk-taking gene?
Well, the answer is there is a genetic basis for taking risks. But at the same time, remember, it's always nature and nurture. So no gene by itself is going to define what we are. They simply are contributing. And that's why we need to understand the balance between one and the other, because it's that balance that shapes who we are.
Let's assume, for example, that somebody is a risk taker and wants to have lots of relationships and has a hard time being monogamous.
Uh-huh.
Can that be determined as a risk taker? Is it found in the genes, risk taking and maybe not being monogamous?
There is a genetic basis that some researchers found on not being monogamous. There's some interesting research, for example, from New Mexico, showing that the closer two people are with respect to a certain set of genes, the more likely the female is to have other sexual partners during the
really?
Fertile period.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We've got a quick question for you,
sure.
Frederick, before we've only got a couple minutes, but our caller from area code 928, are you still there? You said you had a question?
Yes, I do. I took the opportunity to go onto the website, and I think if I'm correct, that this is a listing of potential possibilities. You may have a propensity towards something. And I can see where, just on an individual basis, that would be delightful to know what you may be tolerant or intolerant of, and find it in your mate also. But one question that I had was, I wasn't able to find it anywhere on your website. Would you have an example of a report so that someone might have an idea as to what to expect? Just a thought.
Sure. No. We actually, the first set of reports that we did, I personally didn't like the language because it was too scientific and too technical. It was really written as a scientist for scientists. So we're really working with a change in language, and we will begin posting some of this for commentary because we want to change the language of how we talk about ourselves as well.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yes.
We're all out of time. I'm so sorry. I could talk with you, Frederick, about this forever. But again, if anybody has any questions, your website address?
3W.alpha-genix.com.
Great. It's a pleasure having you on the show tonight, Frederick. I do hope you'll come back and share with us some more as you progress into the DNA and genetics of what makes a personal relationship.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. It's been very enjoyable to talk to you and from Maryland to Prescott, Arizona.
You guys stay warm out there.
We'll do what we can. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Frederick. And for those who would like more information about discovering and achieving their life's work, whether it's done through a home study course or through one-on-one coaching, it's a coaching boot camp. It comes up once a month, 4 weeks, and it is tough. But if you are thinking of discovering and achieving your own life's work, you want to go to www.godseer.com. My name is Kathy Callahan. I am your career coach, and I'm very glad that you joined us, whether it was live in the chat room, hello everybody in the chat room again, or whether you're hearing this archived. God bless you in discovering and achieving your life's work.